KUER News in Salt Lake City. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Utah's never really had much of an impact on presidential politics, but some political journalists are saying Utah may have played a small but important role in slowing the momentum of Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump. Ryan Lizza of The New Yorker magazine said Utah proved to be the ideal state to put a temporary brake on the Trump coronation. If Trump had swept the contests in Utah and other Intermountain states, he could have gotten to that magic number of delegates, and the race, Lizza said, would effectively be over. But Mormons apparently don't like Trump. Today in the program, we'll talk about why. The reasons tell us a lot about this unique block of voters, and it raises an intriguing question. What happens if Trump is the candidate? Would Utah actually choose a Democrat for president? Join us after the news.
Hey, I'm Elaine Clark, one of the producers for Radio West, inviting you to check out Video West. It's our online showcase of short documentaries about the places and people that make Utah what it is. You can stream the films at videowest.kuer.org, and if you like what you see and hear, we hope you'll share it with your friends. And thanks.
This is Radio West, and Doug Fabrizio. There are a lot of good reasons why Utah has practically no impact on presidential politics. We don't have many electoral votes, for one, and our voters are reliable, which just means predictable, easy to take for granted. But some political journalists are saying Utah may have just actually made a difference in the Republican race this time. And not a big one, mind you. And it was only temporary, if it was that at all. But still, when Utah Republican caucus voters soundly rejected Donald Trump earlier this month, they may have slowed his momentum and maybe even kept him from getting to that magic number of delegates he's going to need to get the nomination outright. Now, it wasn't just Utah voters that slowed Trump down. It seems to have been Mormon voters in the Intermountain West. Today in the program, we're exploring what seems to be that Mormon antipathy for Trump. A lot of this is pretty obvious stuff, but not everything. As a voting bloc, if you can even call it that, Mormons have interesting reasons for making their political decisions. And here's a huge question. What if Donald Trump is the candidate? What do conservative Republican voters do? And could it be possible that Utah actually picks a Democrat for president for the first time in, well, in more than 50 years? That's what we're talking about today, and we're hoping to hear from you throughout the hour. If you're a Mormon, for example, and a Republican, what do you think about Donald Trump? And here's a question for all Republicans, regardless of your faith. If Trump does win the nomination, would you vote for him? Would you even go to the polls in November? Would you vote for a Democrat instead? And now, speaking to you Democrats, what is the appeal, for example, of Bernie Sanders? Why is he so popular here in Utah? 801-585-WEST is the number, 801-585-9378. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Joining us here in the studio is Matt Canham. He's an investigative reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. He's been covering this issue for a while now. And Matt, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Lisa Riley Roach is with us. She covers politics for the Deseret News. And welcome back.
Thanks, Doug.
I wanted to begin with this idea, and I know not everyone buys into it, but let's just talk about it a little bit, because I thought it was interesting. You hear this from some political journalists. Ryan Lizza of The New Yorker is one who's Lisa, you mentioned this in one of your pieces. He is talking about sort of the strategic impact of Utah voters, Mormon voters rejecting Donald Trump, that it may not have a big impact, but it might have had a kind of an important sort of strategic bump, may have kept him from getting the delegates that he needs, but also it just kind of slowed him down. What do you two make of the sort of the general idea?
Well, the story that I wrote in Sunday's Deseret News looked at what The New Yorker had to say, and there were a lot of other media outlets too. But yeah. Let's remember something really important here. You know, we did some fairly extensive polling, and all Utah Mormon voters, mostly Republican voters, are not anti-Trump. In fact, the Dan Jones poll that we did looked at LDS voters, and most of them, a slight majority of them anyway, would go for Trump over Clinton or Sanders in a general election. Remember, the poll overall showed that Utah voters, as you said, for the first time since 1964, would go Democrat with Trump at the top of the ticket. But I talked to pollster Dan Jones about that, and he said it's really, really hard for Mormon voters not to vote Republican in Utah. And this is tough for them. And also that these numbers came out before Mitt Romney's statements, which had a huge impact, obviously, on the outcome Tuesday.
Matt, one of the things you wrote about, I thought this was really interesting, is you talked to a BYU Idaho political science professor, a guy by the name of Matt Miles, and he mentioned this interesting distinction in between Mormon voters, that you have the so-called religion-first voters, and then you have the politics-first voters.
Right.
Would you talk a little bit about that? Because I found that really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, what this political science professor found is that when he did research talking to voters, that there are some that put their faith above all else. But there are some who say, look, there's the difference between faith and politics. And my vote doesn't necessarily have to match everything that I believe. That I can put aside a couple issues because for the most part, I'm a conservative person and I'll vote Republican.
Yeah.
And I think we've seen that in our state legislature and other areas. And here, when I've talked to voters, a lot of what I've heard is that it's about personality and authenticity. There's a feeling you get about a candidate, and I think that's happened more and more in our country. And for those religion-first voters, when they see and hear Donald Trump, they don't see someone or hear someone that they particularly like. And that's hard for them. I mean, to get to your first question about this idea that the Intermountain West hit a little bit of a – put a roadblock in front of Donald Trump, part of that is the calendar.
Right.
We came at a time where now there's a one-week break. And then you go to Wisconsin. And then you start getting to other states. And so it allows the narrative to stop for a second for the Republican Party and sit and simmer and think about what happened here. It allows someone like a Ted Cruz who won in the state to try to gain some momentum. But just the delegate math is so difficult for any Republican trying to stop Trump. Essentially, it would Ted Cruz would have to win by astronomical margins in every state going forward to get the nomination outright. So to stop Trump would essentially be to go to a brokered convention where no one can win on the first ballot and then all kinds of machinations take place. So there's a road bump, but it was a bump. He still has the path before him.
Are we flattering ourselves a little bit to say Utah is playing a role, sort of?
Well, Chuck Todd from NBC News said just that, don't overread this. Yeah. It was an easy place for the Stop Trump movement to have an impact because of Mitt Romney's, you know, overpowering influence here, right, compared to the rest of the country. So, yes, it was an opportunity to say not all Republican states are going to go Trump, but is it an opportunity that continues to the next round of states? When you get to places like Wisconsin, they're primaries. They're open primaries. And that's where Trump has done well. He has not done well in caucus states like Utah was this cycle.
Well, we're going to break down some of the particulars of what you guys are talking about. Let me take a few phone calls, though. 801-585-WEST is the number to join us. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. Let's talk to Mark, who's in Kaysville. Mark, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. My comment is Trump is somebody I could never vote for, ever. I would not vote for Hillary Clinton, but I would also never vote for Trump or Cruz. I actually thought Romney was about as disingenuous as he could possibly have been with his endorsement of Cruz shortly after he was out campaigning for Kasich. Me, I'd like to see Kasich get elected or at least become the nominee. But Hillary, Trump, and Cruz, I could never vote for. I would vote for Bernie Sanders before I'd vote for Hillary or Trump or Cruz.
So it's it's the ticket is Trump, and then on the for the Republicans, this is I'm projecting into November, and then for the Dems, it's Hillary Clinton. What are you doing on November, on election day?
I'm voting third party. I would vote Communist Party if that was my only option.
Okay.
Because I know that they'll never get elected. So it's a waste of vote, but it's a protest vote.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not going to support the other two.
Gotcha. Okay.
Mentioned.
All right, Matt, Lisa, what are you hearing with this? Because this seems to be what a lot of Utah voters are talking about.
So the Salt Lake Tribune, we asked our readers to just send in comments like what we just heard from Mark. And Mark, we got plenty of people who felt the exact same way. You know, I think it's hard for Republicans because your political party becomes part of your identity. You are a Republican. And then to have a nominee that you can't support, it's an emotional reaction to that. And so we hear people that's like, look, I'm never voting for Hillary Clinton, but I can't vote for Trump. What do I do?
Yeah.
We've started to hear on the national stage that conservatives are looking at fielding a third party candidate, maybe putting someone in the Libertarian ticket that's more palatable to Republicans, maybe going another way, an outlet. And I think that's totally a possibility if Donald Trump is the nominee, which would give some place for Mark to go, some place for Mitt Romney to go.
Yeah.
And I think that could drastically change the race going forward. And I think that's – there's a lot at in play here. So to decide how you're going to vote in November and March, there are variables that we just aren't going to know.
No, it's true. And as we certainly don't know what's going to happen at the convention, which is
right
up in the air.
And certainly Mark's comments reflect our poll, our Deseret News KSL poll, that showed an 11-point spread between Sanders and Trump in Utah. Voters would rather see elect someone who self-identifies.
Wait, say that again. 11-point spread.
Yes. 48% said they would vote for Sanders over Trump, 37% for Trump.
And, you were talking to who? Were you Republicans?
These are all Utah voters.
All voters, okay.
Right.
Wow.
All the voters that would go to the polls in November.
Now, we're going to come back to this because that to me is so fascinating. What is it about so-called conservative Mormon voters? What would it be appealing for what does he call himself? A Democratic socialist. Why would that translate? We'll get to that in a moment. Let me ask, there's an opinion piece that was written for the Washington Post recently, a political scientist by the name of Benjamin Hertzberg. He's from Emory University. And here's his argument about all of this. He says that Mormons voted for Ted Cruz, for example, in Utah, not because they like Ted Cruz necessarily. I mean, Ted Cruz is as anti-Muslim as Donald Trump is. At least that's this Hertzberg's opinion. He says the Mormons voted for Cruz because they don't dare get out of the Republican Party yet, which sort of gets to something that both of you were saying. At least Dan Jones seemed to be suggesting they're not ready to ditch the Republicans quite yet. Here's what he writes. He says, in his piece, Mormons see their vote as their way of being perceived part of the group, as being seen as legitimately American. And he writes this, that there's this fearful calculus of a group that doesn't have the courage to leave the party.
It kind of goes back to what Matt was saying. It's a style issue for a lot of voters here in Utah with Trump. It's not necessarily even what he says. It's how he says it. He's very brash, boisterous. You know, I sat down with Donald Trump Jr., and I think Matt did as well.
Right.
And he made the point over and over again that, look, my dad's style just doesn't play well here. We get that. But if you get beyond that and start looking at the things he's saying, maybe Utah voters could support him. And Dan Jones, frankly, our pollster, said the same thing, that, and he's been saying it all along throughout this cycle, that he just doesn't register. Trump's style just doesn't register with Utah voters. It's beyond the issues. It's just somebody they don't want to be seen supporting.
I disagree with that opinion piece fundamentally, because it sounds like it makes Mormons be others, like they're not Americans. You know, your faith doesn't mean that that's the only thing that you are. You know, and I don't get that idea.
I think you hear that a lot about them saying that Mormons you know, because they were persecuted and because they wanted to be part of the mainstream, and that's why they did statehood. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Well, and so that kind of psychology implies – like it like weighs on every decision you make. Like I don't think that's legitimate. I think what you have is that Mormons are conservative people. They fit better in the Republican Party. They look at the candidates before them, and like Mark, he's not going to consider a Hillary Clinton because he – doesn't want. He'll do a protest vote before.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do a protest vote if he felt the Communist Party could win.
Right.
He did it because he thinks it would throw his vote away. So I think what we have here is I do agree that Ted Cruz wasn't loved in this state, that he was looked at as the best option to stopping Donald Trump. But it's because these people believe in the Republican Party and they want to support the Republican Party. And part of that's their faith. Part of that's just their morals and who they are and their culture and what their family believed and everything else that goes into every vote that any American makes.
Yeah. Mark, thanks very much. 801-585-WEST, the number to join the conversation. Back to the phones. Jenny is with us in Provo. Jenny, hi. Oh, you there? Your phone is going to be terrible, I'm afraid. Try it again.
I'm here.
Right. Yeah, give it a shot. Let's try.
All right. So I was just thinking about hopefully if in any circumstance, if it would push Republican voters to possibly consider a new line of thinking, not necessarily Democrat, but maybe independent in Utah.
You're wondering if the Trump nomination will get people thinking differently? Is that what you're saying?
I hope so, because I believe that lots of Republicans are kind of stuck in this way of thinking and don't really have time or the reason to get out and their party.
Okay, not a great phone line, but I think we did get a sense of what she was saying. And it's a great question, actually. Mormon voters as a bloc tend to have been sort of stuck in this one sense. Maybe this will get them thinking differently. What do you think?
Certainly, the Utah Democratic Party is very hopeful of that. There are some very good races this year. Doug Owens, Mia Love matchup again, where if
that seems close, doesn't it?
Well, it is for incumbent in a lot of ways. Right. I mean, certainly the National Democratic Party is putting a lot of effort into this race. They see something there that as a possibility. So with that, with Trump at the top of the ticket, maybe making people take a second look at their habitual voting, Utah Democrats really feel they have an opportunity here. So we'll see.
What do you think?
You know, I think the idea of if there is a third party candidate that would bring up ideas that wouldn't have to fit in the total Republican Party orthodoxy, though obviously Donald Trump doesn't fit in that orthodoxy either.
Yeah.
This could be an opportunity for, I want to say lazy conservative voters, but voters who have just kind of just followed where their party has taken them to reassess what they believe and what they want out of a candidate. And it's a forced move, you know, and I think that, you know, as Lisa said, Democrats are really hopeful in the state that that would have an effect.
Their opinion is, the Democratic Party, is that if a lot of voters actually thought about what their issues and which party they align with, the Democrats think that they would vote for a lot of voters anyway, would vote more Democratic than Republican.
And we've seen that in lower ballot races. Jim Matheson did very well with crossover voters even when Mitt Romney was on the ticket.
Yeah.
So we've seen that happen. There are a couple things that might be roadblocks to that idea. And part of that is that in this election, the idea that Democrats would do better is in part based off of depressed turnout for Republicans, that they would be so turned off that a percentage of them just wouldn't vote, or they would just go to a third party, which could happen at the presidential level. But in Salt Lake County and maybe in some of the other major counties here, we're going to have mail-in ballots. So actually, we'll probably have much greater turnout than we've had in past presidential elections than before. Mm-hmm. So that changes the calculus together or altogether. I think sometimes we look at things in a binary one issue at a time. There's a lot going on in elections.
Well, and there's a lot going on with the Democratic side, too, as a result of the popularity of Bernie Sanders, right?
Yep.
What was it, 20,000 new registered voters on caucus night on the Democratic side? So you have all that energy, all that excitement, all these people getting involved for the first time. And then on the Republican side, maybe just the opposite, people not showing up. Or if they show up, it's only half-hearted.
Yeah. Let's take another call before we head to a break. Thanks, Jenny, by the way, for the phone call. Kelly is with us in Salt Lake. Sorry. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I took my son, Nathan Patterson, to the Donald Trump rally. We were anxious to go. We're active members of The Church of Jesus Christ. And I totally support Donald Trump as a nominee for the presidential election. And I'm an active member of the church, and I'm an active Republican. I went to my caucus and voted for Donald Trump in my caucus. I was very disappointed to see Mitt Romney come out with his comments against Donald Trump, particularly in spite of the fact that Donald Trump supported Mitt Romney when he ran for president.
Yeah, there's a little irony there.
Yeah, and actually I happened to run into Mitt Romney about a year ago at the Walmart in Park City on my way to work. I work for Geneva Rock in Park City, and I encouraged Mitt Romney to run, and I told him that I hoped that he ran again, and he said he wasn't going to do that, but he appreciated my comments. And so when he decided not to run, I would have appreciated him supporting any candidate that got the nomination in a fair and legitimate way.
But Kelly, what Mitt Romney and some looks like, when you look at some of the polling, what they don't like about Donald Trump, and we're going to talk a little bit more about this as we go along. They don't like his immigration stance because they think that their church has a more compassionate sense about immigration than Donald Trump might. They don't like the Muslim bashing because Mormons themselves, and in a statement, they've laid out the fact that they themselves have experienced religious persecution. They don't like his moral values. They don't like his language. They don't like the fact that he curses, those kinds of things. So why do you support him as an active Mormon?
Well, on the immigration issue, I feel that Donald Trump supports legal immigration. And his point is that we've got lots of people in this country that are here illegally. And so if we're going to have immigration, it ought to be legal. And I think
what's the number one, Kelly, let me interrupt you. I don't want to go through all of these issues with you. Forgive me.
Okay.
We probably don't have the time. But is there one that rises to the top, the reason you support Donald Trump?
Probably the main issue is he's very successful in the business world, and he knows all of the problems that this nation faces economically. And I feel that Donald Trump would be the president that could pull us out of all the economic problems that this nation faces.
Okay. Kelly, we're glad you called. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you very much.
Before we head to a break, Lisa, Matt, what do you want to do?
Well, it's interesting that he liked Mitt Romney well enough to ask Romney to run a second time. A lot of Utah Republicans, of course, wanted to see that, or a third time, rather. But it's interesting that that's his number one issue with Trump.
But what's the
Trump
thing they both have in common?
They're both successful business
exactly.
people. And that's exactly what he got to, what yeah. Kelly got to. So that's an interesting parallel there.
Yeah. What did you think?
Well, in some ways, Trump is the anti-Romney. Romney did not, talk about his wealth, talk about his success. He tried to shy away from that and talk about his government service or him running the Olympics. Where Trump has made it a cult of celebrity, that it is, look at my success. I can do this anywhere. And there are certain people who say, maybe he can. And that outsider appeal, too, I think is very strong with people.
Had an email exchange with the political pundit and advisor Dave Owens this morning. He says Mormon culture reveres wealth and business success, but only if it's held humbly.
Right.
You can't be or shouldn't be profligate or flamboyant with your money, he says. Utah wants its stake presidents to be CEOs. Last time they actually got to vote that way for president. Last time, he says, they actually got to vote that way for president, quite literally. I'm guessing he's referring there to Romney. He says they voted for Huntsman for governor on the strength of his father's wealth also. It's okay if you spread the money around, but you can't be too.
There's no brash.
You can't be brash.
In your face.
Yeah.
That's not the culture that we have here in business and in politics. And politicians who come to this state from outside of the state usually find that they're a little too upfront, a little too aggressive, and they need to dial it back. You're right. I think the humble word is the right word there.
Yeah. It goes back to that style issue with voters, what they're comfortable with here.
Matt Canham, he is an investigative reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune. Lisa Riley Roach covers politics for the Deseret News. And would like to hear from you, 801-585-WEST, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. We'll take a break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're talking about Utah voters and the relationship with Donald Trump. For some reason, Utah's biggest voting bloc, maybe it's not a bloc, but Mormons say they don't like the guy, which is going against a national trend, of course. And we are talking with a number of people about all of this. You included. 801-585-WEST, by the way, is the number. Our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. We have with us here in the studio Matt Canham with the Salt Lake Tribune and Lisa Riley Roach of the Deseret News. Joining us now is McKay Coppins, who is a senior political writer at BuzzFeed. He covers national politics, the Republican Party, and the conservative movement. He's the author of a book recently released, The Wilderness, Deep Inside the Republican Party's Combative, Contentious, Chaotic Quest to Take Back the White House. He's joining us from the NPR studio in New York City. And McKay Coppins, welcome to you. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, in your piece, you wrote a piece in BuzzFeed exploring the sort of Mormon relationship with Donald Trump. And one of the things you say is that Mormon voters differ from the Republican Party's base in kind of important ways. We've been talking a little bit about that, but give us a sense of what you mean. What is it that Mormons see in Donald Trump that doesn't work for them, generally speaking?
Well, you had Lisa talking about it a little bit earlier, and Matt talking about the style issue, which is absolutely a big part of it. I think a lot of Mormons are just fundamentally put off by Donald Trump's whole shtick, right? The cursing, the insults, the flamboyantly throwing around his wealth and money. But there are people all over the country and in a lot of other religious denominations that are also put off by that stuff. But they tend to forgive him, or at least a lot of voters have, because they agree with him on certain issues and they like the way he talks about certain issues. And on two of those issues, they just happen to be places where Mormons differ from the Republican base in a lot of respects. So one of those is immigration. Yeah. In my piece, I cite a Notre Dame academic scientist who shows that Mormons are more than twice as likely as evangelicals to say they support more immigration to the United States. A 2012 Pew survey found Mormons were more likely to say immigrants strengthen the country than they were to call immigrants an overall burden. Mm. There's significant evidence to suggest that rank-and-file Mormon voters, including conservative voters, Republican voters, have kind of followed the lead of their church, which, as you noted earlier, has called for compassionate immigration reform, got behind immigration legislation in Utah. The church-owned Deseret News has editorialized on this subject. So on the issue of immigration, which is one of you can't overstate how kind of fundamental this issue has been to Donald Trump's rise. It's an issue that Mormon voters, while they might agree with parts of what he's saying, they don't like how harsh he sounds and they don't like a lot of what he's saying. So that's one issue. And then the other one that you mentioned earlier is kind of this Muslim bashing that has been a big part of Donald Trump's campaign also. I mean, it is remarkable, and obviously your listeners are familiar with this, but I have to say, since I wrote this story, I've been doing interviews in a lot of national media, and people are just shocked by this. But when Donald Trump came out and said, that there should be a ban on all Muslims entering the United States in the wake of the San Bernardino shooting, at least temporarily, that's mm-hmm. what he said. Utah Governor Herbert was the only Republican governor in the country for a while, at least, to say that refugees were still welcome in the United States. The church put out a statement actually not directly responding to what Trump said, but it was pretty clearly a response, or it seemed that way, saying that while the church is neutral on issues of party politics and elections, they're not neutral on the issue of religious freedom, and right. even quoting Joseph Smith. Yeah. So there are a lot of indicators here that suggest that Mormons, while again they may not they may even agree that I wish that there had been entrance or exit polls in Utah after the caucuses. I would be interested to hear what people think of Trump's proposal on banning all Muslims. But that aside, it's clearly not an issue that's going to animate Mormon voters or lead a lot of them to forgive Trump for all the things they already don't like.
Yeah, exit polls would have been nice. We had a hard time coming up with ballots for the caucuses. That was a problem anyway. 801-585-WEST is the number to join us. Let's go back to the phones. And Annette, who's with us in Salt Lake. Annette, hi.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Well, I am a Mormon woman, and I actually don't identify myself with a particular party, but I am also one who absolutely cannot vote for Trump or Cruz for a lot of the reasons that you have been discussing today. What I don't understand is why Bernie Sanders has become the preference over Hillary Clinton, or the preference in general, given his extreme liberal views economically and socially. For Mormons, that seems the absolute contradictory to what our viewpoints would be. So I'm just wondering, you know, if anyone can help me understand the strong opposition toward Hillary. Is it the email scandal? Is it the relation to a former president who's strongly disliked in Utah? Is it the fact that she's a woman? I mean, I've heard that thrown around. I just want to know what your opinions are.
Such a good question. McKay Coppins, do you want to take that one first?
Yeah, I get asked about this a lot. And I mean, there's like a boring answer and an interesting answer. And the boring answer is that the Clintons have long been disliked in Utah. Bill Clinton, certainly. In fact, you know, I believe came in third place in Utah in 1992.
That's right.
It was, I think, might have been the only state where that happened. So the Clintons are just, and that, this is true, in fact, in a lot of places. Not just in Utah, but a lot of people just have very set, firm beliefs and opinions of the Clintons, and it's very hard for Hillary to change that. So that's one issue. The more interesting answer that I would, you know, would like, I've seen a lot of writing on, I would like to see kind of more data on, but there, you, if you talk to a lot of active Mormons who are also active Bernie Sanders supporters, they will talk about the law of consecration and early, you know, early doctrinal things in the church that that they argue kind of foreshadowed the democratic socialism that Bernie Sanders espouses, and I, you know, I think there is something very interesting about that. Again, I don't know how much the data would support it, but you certainly will hear that from a lot of Mormon Sanders supporters.
I want to take one more call before we get to the you guys on this point, because he's actually, I think anyway, Jeremy is going to make this particular point. Jeremy, you with us? Jeremy, you there from South Jordan? Oh, darn it. Because what Jeremy, let me see if I can paraphrase essentially what he was saying. He's a Mormon Democrat. He supports Bernie Sanders. He's tired, he says, of the problems of society being socialized and profits privatized. And he mentioned the United Order. I mean, he mentioned this idea of some of these early Mormon socialistic experiments. So that sounds great in theory, and at least here's an example of one who thinks that way. But Matt, Lisa, what do you make of that as a theory and in practice, of whether that in fact is an issue?
I covered Bernie Sanders' two rallies here. I went to some Democratic caucuses. There are definitely Mormon Democrats, and they are a significant part of the Democratic Party here in Utah, but I don't think this was a Mormon reaction. I mean, for some people, there might be something there. I think this is just in a very conservative state. If you're a Democrat, you really believe you're an ideologue and you're going to be more liberal. And in this kind of caucus scenario, you're going to vote Bernie Sanders over Hillary Clinton because of the excitement, because he is a step to the left of Hillary Clinton. And I think those things probably played more into it than the LDS church aspect of it.
I think the term I kept hearing was Clinton fatigue. Voters here were looking for an alternative to Trump. In terms of our polling about what they would do in the general election. And they feel like they know Clinton. They feel like they know what her husband did here. He wasn't very popular, as McKay pointed out. They've heard about her for years now. Bernie Sanders, someone new, someone exciting. And as Matt said, if you're a Utah Democrat, you probably do have pretty strong ideological beliefs to set yourself apart from the mainstream Republicans.
Doesn't sound like either of you are buying into this idea that deeply embedded in Mormon DNA is this idea of of socialism.
I think for a very small subset, you know, that is true. That there are
– Like Jeremy.
Like Jeremy. Yeah. I don't discount Jeremy at all. I'm just saying, if you want to know why Bernie Sanders got 80% of Utah's caucus vote, I don't think it was people like Jeremy who pushed him over there.
McKay, you want to say something? You want to make your case one more time about that?
Well,
not that you're the one making the case.
I'm not trying to convert Mormon Democrats over to Bernie Sanders. What I would say is that this idea does manifest itself on among Mormon Republicans too, Mormon conservatives. And It's interesting to note how the Mormon approach to conservatism is actually much more open to kind of – there's a form of communalism there that is not not necessarily represented in other strains of kind of the Tea Party era. You talk to a lot of I obviously am on the road a lot. I go to a lot of campaign events. I talk to voters. You hear a lot of Ted Cruz supporters, for example, a lot of, you know, hardcore Tea Party conservatives talk about individualism, and it's all about having, you know, an individual right to be free and to not have anyone else bother me, and I just want to be able to do my thing. You don't hear that as much from Mormon conservatives. You probably do from some, but a lot of them believe fundamentally in this idea of, you know, being conscientious of your neighbor and taking care of your neighbor, your fellow Mormon, you know, congregant. And so this communalism, again, I'm there's some degree of speculation here, but this communalism can be seen in Mormonism, and you can see how Bernie Sanders' message could appeal to Mormon Democrats. I don't know if it's what's driving the Sanders support, but you certainly will see them make that point or make that case when they try to justify or explain their support for Sanders to their fellow Mormons.
I don't think we're going to let this one go yet, because we have a number of calls. And here's a Facebook comment from Chris, who writes, is it possible that Utahns are drawn to Bernie Sanders because he has the most Christ-like message about helping the poor and the marginalized? And then comments from – I think we actually do have Jeremy. That was my fault. Before we go to a break, let me get Jeremy. Jeremy, sorry, did I paraphrase you correctly?
More or less, Doug. I think for me it does come back to my fundamental Mormon belief. I think as we read our scripture, there is both the law of consecration and some early attempts in Mormon history at the United Order. I firmly believe that that is a higher spiritual law and a higher spiritual level that we as Mormons seek to attain, and I don't know how we're going to prepare ourselves for that or prepare ourselves to live under a Christ led society in a millennium unless we start to implement some of those policies and work out some of the hard issues here and now. And I see a lot of that in Bernie Sanders.
Hmm. Well, I'm glad I finally pushed the right button. That was my fault, Jeremy. Sorry. Thanks very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
801-585-WEST, the number to join the conversation. We'll take more of your calls when we get back from a break. We have McKay Coppins with us, senior political writer at BuzzFeed. We also have Matt Canham, investigative reporter for the Salt Lake Tribune, and Lisa Riley Roach, who covers politics for the Deseret News. We'll take another break and be back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West on KUER. This is Radio West and Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we've been talking about Utah, in particular Mormon voters, but also others in their relationship with Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. Matt Canham with the Salt Lake Tribune is with us. Lisa Riley Roche with us from the Deseret News. And we have McKay Coppins also with us, a senior political writer at BuzzFeed. He's been covering this particular question as well. I wanted to ask you, McKay, one of the other elements what I found interesting is that Mormon demographics just don't match up with Trump, that Mormons, as you put it, reside outside of Trump's base of support anyway.
Right. Well, if you look at Trump support, he tends to do best in places with among voters with lower education levels. Mormons have higher than average education levels. He does best among voters who attend church infrequently or not at all, whereas Mormons have extremely high levels of church, of worship service attendance. He does better with in places with higher divorce rates. Mormon-heavy populations tend to have lower divorce rates. So there are a lot of demographic indicators that would suggest that Mormons just wouldn't be well-suited to Trump anyway. They would actually be better suited to an average Marco Rubio voter. And of course, he had dropped out by the time Utah voted, but I did see polls earlier that suggested he was doing well in Utah and even leading there. I would say that One of the theories that's been put forward by people I talk to as they look at these demographic indicators is that Trump does best in places where kind of there is less social cohesion, where, you know, there isn't, you know, neighbors aren't gathering together at church services and, you know, football games and rotary clubs or whatever they are, right? And where the schools aren't as good and where families aren't doing as well. He does well in those areas, and there's a lot of evidence to suggest that's because voters in those areas are very anxious. They're not just anxious about the economy, which has become kind of a cliche of punditry this cycle, that Trump does best because of economic anxiety, which is true, but they're anxious about everything. They're anxious about their lives, their communities, their neighborhoods, their schools, their safety, their families. And Trump has been able to pitch himself to people where that anxiety is really deeply felt. Mormon-held communities, Mormon America, is simply not feeling those same anxieties in those same ways. And there is a lot of, you know, I don't want to get too far out on a limb here, but, you know, there has been political science that talks about how Trump does well among voters who manifest authoritarian tendencies when they answer questions. They believe in what they call strong leaders, but to them, that, you know, they want some kind of form of authoritarianism. And there is a lot of there's been a lot of writing this election cycle and a lot of exploration of this idea that authoritarian leaders tend to take, you know, grab hold of times and kind of rise in areas where that anxiety is being felt and the kind of communities are breaking down, that you know, the communities that once gave people purpose and hope and happiness are breaking down, and authoritarian leaders will promise to come in and solve all their problems. And that's one thing that has kind of been central to Trump's message.
801-585-WEST, the number to join the conversation. Here's what I'm not sure what we can even do with this, but I found it interesting. It again comes from the political observer and pundit and advisor Dave Owens. He says two words: passive aggression. He says that is the coin of the realm in Utah politics. It's our preferred means of political dispute by several standard deviations above the mean. And Dave refers to the first few pages of this article in Sunstone that actually documents this idea of passive aggression among Mormons. He says this. He says Trump is aggressive without the passive. Utahns cannot tolerate direct confrontation of issues or between people. You never attack frontally. You have to come in at it from the side. Trump doesn't have that move. Do you guys want to say anything about that?
I mean, beyond the style stuff, which you already talked about, yeah. Part of that goes to the demographics and the well-being of the state. You don't have to be aggressive when your state's doing well. You don't have to be aggressive when you have the majority. You know, you're not under attack. And Utah, it does do well. Utah is a young state, which is well-educated, high rates of marriage, lots of job opportunities. There isn't the fear here that there might be elsewhere. And I think because of that, you don't need the frontal assault to get, you know, and there are obviously cultural reasons, as we talked about, that just doesn't work here. But it's also just because life's going fairly well. There isn't a fear that, you know, Donald Trump says a lot that, like, you know, that America is like a third world country. I don't think people in Utah feel that.
Yeah.
It's the same political message that would play well, say, in the Midwest.
Detroit.
Right?
Yeah.
Yes. Where people are struggling economically, to McKay's point, and hurting and looking for someone to express that they understand their pain, their confusion, their frustration with the system. As Matt said, we don't have that situation here in Utah specifically, but also in largely in this region. So it's a different message that needs to play out here.
Yeah, I mean, what Donald Trump says is that he'll keep the rapists and murderers from Mexico from entering the country, that he'll keep terrorists from entering our shores, and that he'll do better trade deals so the, you know, American workers who are beaten down will have better jobs. Well, those are three issues that most Utahns are not going to put at the top of their list.
801-585-WEST, the number to join the conversation. Let's go back to the phone. Sam is with us in Spanish Fork. Sam, welcome.
Hi. I just want to make a comment about why I think Mormons are more likely to vote for, say, Bernie Sanders or Ted Cruz as opposed to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. I think it's a moralistic kind of idea of going for a person who has higher morals. People see Hillary Clinton as being a liar and someone that they can't trust, and Donald Trump is just all over the map and doesn't have very high morals. And so the idea of voting for someone who's going to uphold your principles or be very principle-centered is one, I think, that speaks really highly to Mormons in general.
I think that's spot on. I mean, I think when we asked our readers to send in comments, for many, many people, that idea of authenticity and moral correctness, that the problems with Hillary Clinton are her email scandal, Benghazi, and whether she could have done everything she could have done in that terrorist attack in Libya, that it was about her credibility and her trustworthiness. And I do think what that caller said is spot on.
Cameron, I think, echoes that. He said Mormons want someone who is kind, trustworthy, gentle. This sounds like the Scout Oath here. Gentle, honest, humble, stable, and someone who embodies their beliefs to the greatest degree possible. He says they want someone who resembles their own leaders.
That's what our own polling found as well when we asked people what characteristics they were looking for. Integrity is very big in terms of characteristic. And again, going back to this idea of Clinton fatigue, we know a lot about Hillary Clinton. We know a lot about Bill Clinton. Bernie Sanders has been in Washington a long time, but we don't necessarily know as much about him. And so oddly enough, he has that appeal of a newcomer, of that excitement of someone who's fresh on the scene, even though he really isn't. It's an interesting juxtaposition, I think.
Well, speaking about a reference to Boy Scouts, which that brings up Mitt Romney again, which a lot of Utahns sort of see him in that way. McKay Coppins, I wanted to ask you said that Mitt Romney, I mean, you've written about this quite a bit, actually. You talk about how Romney's decision to sort of really get on board this anti-Trump part was personal and practical. And here's what you wrote recently. You said Romney's reemergence has set off a fresh wave of speculation about his own political intentions. We do have to talk about that. What do you think? What do you think about that? I mean, Mitt Romney said, of course, I'm not interested, but if there are all these questions about what's going to happen in a convention. And this does leave some hope, I think, for some Mormon voters. It may must.
Anyway. Oh, sure. Sure. No, I mean, you see it every day now, on Facebook, on Twitter, people emailing me. I get Facebook messages from Mormons who I haven't spoken to in years or possibly ever, just begging me to tell them that Mitt Romney is going to jump in the race at some point this election cycle. I mean, look, the one thing I will say is that Mitt Romney has not endorsed any candidate this cycle, and in fact has what he's been doing is endorsed the idea of an open convention.
Yeah.
He is campaigning for an open convention to stop Donald Trump. The people that I talked to most recently in Romney's orbit tell me that he really is genuinely not interested in or planning to run to enter him, to put his name forward in a presidential, in a contested convention to try to get his name on the ballot at any point. They really I had one former Romney advisor tell me that he's more likely to play the role of kind of brokering a unity ticket at the convention to take down Donald Trump between, Ted Cruz and John Kasich or Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio or something like that, than he is to actually try to run. That said, I have also reported my book, and I still hear from these people that he has prominent backers who are fundraisers and not just Mormons. Some of them are Mormons. Some of them are people he's known through private equity who just really believe in him, who have drawn up a strategy to nominate Mitt Romney, draft him from the convention floor. And they tell me, and maybe this is them just projecting or reading way too much into winks and nods, but they tell me that Romney has not completely shut them down. And so they cling to that as potential hope that he could run. But I don't think anyone who is hoping for this should get their hopes up too much.
I want to finally bring it back down to the potential Utah vote in November. Here's a comment from Ryan, who writes from Ogden. I'm a 35-year-old independent. I'm voting for Bernie Sanders. There was a time when I would have considered a reasonable Republican candidate, but I see Ted Cruz as more dangerous, than Donald Trump, for example. Rolando from Roy writes, the Democratic Party may be excited by the numbers at the caucus, but as other correspondents have stated, Hillary Clinton's campaign cannot count on all of Bernie Sanders' supporters. Just those comments sort of bring us to the question. And Matt and Lisa, let me put it to you, since you're covering sort of the Utah angle on all of this. A lot of talk about the fact whether Utahns could, in fact, vote for a Democrat over a Donald Trump. But do you really see anything going differently in November if you really look at the numbers?
I think it's very possible. Our poll came out. Our pollster was in the field before Rubio dropped out, before Mitt Romney's statement. And yet the numbers were really strong for Bernie Sanders over Trump. And yeah,
among
some of that
general voters.
General voters, yep, yep. The people that will right. go to the polls, right? Same thing with Clinton was over Trump, just 2 points within the margin of error. But still, and between now and then, how much more is Trump going to say and do if he becomes the nominee that will turn off Utah voters? So I think it is very possible that we would see that.
I think it really comes down to if there's a third-party candidate, someone that conservatives can rally behind. As been pointed out earlier, in 1992, Bill Clinton came in third. So even if you split the Republican vote, that does not mean Hillary Clinton would win if she's the nominee. So I still think I would be cautious. I would be surprised if a Democrat ended up winning in the state.
Of course, all bets are off if Mitt Romney does indeed become the GOP nominee.
Right, that's right. Lisa Riley Roach, who covers politics for the Deseret News, thanks very much. Matt Canham of the Salt Lake Tribune. Matt, thanks.
Thank you.
And McKay Coppins, a senior political writer at BuzzFeed News. Let me see if I can mention your subtitle in your book, McKay. The Wilderness, Deep Inside the Republican Party's Combative, Contentious, Chaotic Quest to Take Back the White House. McKay, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Radio West, a production of KUER News, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Elaine Clark. I'm Doug Fabricio.